Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Every day is prostitution day. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Sam Crowley, host of the longest running motivational podcast on the planet. It's great to have you here. Didn't mean to shock you a little too much. We're going to be talking about an NFL Hall of Famer, lots of money, dovetailing on yesterday's show, and an individual whose day started yesterday just a little bit rocky. Monday, February 2nd was yesterday. That makes today the 3rd for those of you keeping score at home. Old Warren Sapp played in the NFL for a long time here in the United States as a football player, made a lot of money. We talked about money yesterday, going to be talking about money today. He was pulling down about $500,000 a year now that he's been retired with the NFL Network. Really cush job. All he has to do is show up, smile, give a little bit of bad analysis, and everybody else goes on their merry way. Probably good old Warren, though. Got caught with a couple hookers yesterday morning at 7 a.m. in Phoenix, Arizona, the day after the Super Bowl. Ended up getting into a fight with at least one of them, possibly two, which gets you an assault here in the United States. And within about 4 hours, got terminated from that $500,000 a year job. So there you have it, everybody. Another sad story of an individual with just so much, and ended up flushing it down the toilet. So my thoughts on this. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm not happy. It's not like I'm sitting here laughing about it. But boy, man, just what we were talking about yesterday, you know, it doesn't matter about how much money you have. Money exposes more who you are. Would you agree with that? True or true? If you're a jerk and you get a lot of money, what do you become? You become a rich jerk. If you're a philanthropic, happy individual, like to give away, but you just don't have the money to give right now, when you come into a lot of money, you're going to end up giving it away. Be careful, though. Don't become one of the lotto winners here in the U.S. 80% go broke within 5 years because they've never had money. They don't know how to treat money. They let money treat them, definitely control them. You know, you got to be able to control money. You cannot have it control you, all right? If you think money is controlling you, change, man. It's never too late. You know, get educated about it. Understand how wealthy people. Read the book called The Millionaire Next Door. It's a great book. It's a book that is not necessarily my, what's the word I'm looking for? A to Z, way away. I go through life. It talks about individuals who buy a car that's 3 to 5 years old, live very modestly, a home that's 20 years old, don't really buy things like that. I don't think you got to go that far. They believe in savings. We don't even have savings here in the U.S. It's like 0.1% interest right now in a savings account. You're better off just putting your money under your mattress and putting it in any type of long-term CD or savings account. But anyway, The Millionaire Next Door, I read that book 15 years ago because why? I like everybody's opinion. There was a lot of great stuff in there. Basically, what the book told me, don't be stupid. It was a lot of like the book Good to Great by Jim Collins. You know, good is the enemy of great. You know, it showcased a lot of different organizations and how they made the big leap from good to great. Another great business book there as well. But The Millionaire Next Door talks about just average people. You would never know that these people were worth tens and millions of dollars because they just don't flaunt it. You know, it's funny. You go to a lot of these, if you go to a lot of these events where people have these big, big watches and drive these very nice, fancy cars, like I talked about yesterday, it screams, look at me. Look at me. I can spend $50,000 on a watch. Don't know how I'm making my mortgage payment, but look at that watch. Isn't it amazing? So Warren Sapp finds himself in a very precarious situation as he wakes up this morning after being bailed out yesterday. No job. He's bankrupt, by the way. He filed bankruptcy a few years ago. Made millions in the NFL, but now he's bankrupt. had a great job paying him a lot of money. Now he's got none of it, and he's got the humiliation that goes along with being caught with two hookers in a hotel room and getting into a fight with one of them and having it blasted. Just go to Twitter, search Warren Sapp, and you can see all the fun everybody's having out there with him today. So the message is, man, just like I was talking about yesterday, walking around those streets in Tonawanda and, you know, looking up and saying, man, I would like to just have that house, and then I get a house like that, and then I need more, and then I need a car and all that. Then I realized it was never about all that stuff. I think back, boy, I think that immediately when I heard that Warren Sapp story, I was at a, where was it, West Palm Beach, Florida. I had just turned 21 years old that summer. Was it that summer? 1989. Yeah, 1989. And went to a strip club with a bunch of the guys after work, because that's what you do when you're 21 in West Palm Beach, Florida. And these guys had, they could wallpaper their walls with money. One guy was living in a mansion on South Ocean Boulevard, the manager of our office, young kid. He was only 4 years older than me. It makes him 25 years old. He was driving a black Porsche 911. I mean, these guys, this was right after Wall Street came out. Everybody wanted to be Bud Fox and Gordon Gekko and that movie, which is still one of my favorite movies of all time. Myself included. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm like, wow. I used to hem my pants with Scotch tape. I wore the same pants to work 3 days a week, and they were too big, and I couldn't afford to go to a tailor to have them, the bottoms of them, like the inseam, were like 4 inches too long. So I would take Scotch tape in the morning, and I would fold the cuff of my pants up, and I would keep them up with Scotch tape. And that's how I kept my pants up. Well, I kept my pants up with a belt, but I kept the seam in with Scotch tape, which was really nifty, you know. And it would fall down a bunch of times throughout the course of the day, and I would just retape it back up. So I find myself at a strip club with 20 other brokers, and we're going crazy. Money's flying. I'm not spending a dime because I don't have a dime. I'm driving a 1976 orange Toyota Corolla with 225,000 miles on it. Five-speed with AM radio. All right. Broke down in the middle of a rainstorm and rush hour on a Friday in West Palm, by the way, about 4 months later. And I did what anybody would do, and I left it there. Left it. Did I? No, I didn't go. I just left it there. That was the end of my Corolla. Lasted me about 6 months total. So after the strip club, we head on over to the Royce Hotel. Okay, the Royce Hotel, I don't even know if it's still around, but it was in West Palm Beach. And we went up to the presidential suite, all right, the presidential suite where George Bush, the vice president at the time under Ronald Reagan, had just stayed recently. And this was wild, man. I totally forgot about this story. I don't know why, when I heard about Warren Sapp and hookers and all that stuff, I thought about this. So you know where the story's going, right? Yeah. So this wasn't exactly my Saturday, but I thought it would be, you know. So we left, we're drunk, heading over to the Royce Hotel. These guys pay, it was like $1,000 a night. We had the presidential suite, and then the booze started flying, drugs started flying, which I didn't, I was like, oh my, I've never had a hard drug still. I'm 40, be 47 this year. I've never tried cocaine or heroin or anything like that. Smoked pot a little bit, Penn State, but nothing, I mean, a few times, handful of times. Like beer, though. So I was drinking beer, and the wild thing was they had, it was like 11 o'clock at night, they had busboys coming up with those carts that they put the linens in, the sheets and the towels and all that stuff. They had that full of beer and ice. That's how much money these guys had. I don't know how they got it done, but they got it done. And by this time, hookers are showing up and stuff's just going crazy. And it's like, oh my God. It's like sitting there. I'm 21 years old from Bradford, PA. All right. Opie Taylor, okay, as green as the grass outside, had no idea this side of life existed. And I thought it'd be cool to be out with all these guys. And it started to get uncool because I'd walk into one bedroom and one guy was snorting a line of coke on the dresser and another guy was getting another line ready. He's like, hey, Crowley. Well, I'm like, no, my God, get away, man. I don't even know what that is. Get away. And then I'd go into another bedroom. You can imagine what's going on there, right? Because, you know, hello. Oh, sorry. I'm just looking around like, oh, my God, this was just nuts. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at these guys now with just a whole different, through a whole different lens, right? I'm only 21, but I'm sharp enough to know I don't want to be in this environment. This could get into trouble. This could go downhill quickly. And it just got like crazier and crazier and crazier. And the guy I came with originally to this whole party when we started earlier, we started at like, what was it, 4 p.m. when we left work and went to the club. And he left like an hour before. I had no ride home. So I had to wait. 6 a.m., like literally sitting around and just having beer. And then I stopped drinking around 3 a.m. I was just observing, thinking, This is the craziest environment I've ever. This is a long way from Bradford, PA. And now the party was starting to kind of thin out and people were leaving and it was, you know, 3 a.m. turned to 4 to 5. And finally I got a ride home. I got home at 6 a.m., had to be to work at 7:30. So I jumped in the shower and just went to work with no sleep and saw these same guys at work. They went home, showered. Some had wives, you know, and they went home, showered, went back to work. And I don't know, they might have done it all again the next night. I have no idea, but they were walking around work like there's no big deal. I'm walking around work like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What the hell just happened last night? Like, that's a story I could talk about, and I'm still talking about it. I'll be 47. It happened when I was 21. It's 26 years ago it happened, and I'm still talking about it. It was open my eyes to what money, the evil of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Right? The love of money, not money. Money's not the root of all evil. Money's like a loaded weapon. It can be used for good and it can be used for not so good, you know? And that's why people max out credit cards. There's nothing wrong with credit cards. You know, you see people, I'm cutting up my cards. Well, look, if you need to cut up your card, then cut it up, but you don't need to cut it up. It's like saying I can't just have two drinks. You know, I got to have 17 and get smashed. Credit cards are fine. You need credit cards. You should have credit cards. Look, it's how a lot of the times how I fund one product launch to the next is I'll put 20, 30 grand on a line of credit, recoup it back with a product launch because I know I'm getting it back. Now, that's smart use of credit. It's risky, okay, because you don't know if you're going to have that. But hopefully, if you've done a couple product launches in the past or you're getting something off the ground, you know there's going to be a return on your investment. You can put something on a credit card February 1st, your next bill doesn't come until March 1st, and it's due March 19th. Guys, that's some 45 days you got at 0% interest. The interest only, you're only paying that if you don't make that full payment when that next bill's due. There's a lot of ways, I mean, to use money. But when I was at that party at the presidential suite of the Royce Hotel in 1989, my eyes were open to the evil of money and power. And money and power can be good, but, man, I saw the bad part of it. When I heard that story about Warren Sapp yesterday, it brought that story back. Like, wow, I bet he was in an environment just like that. Me, I'm watching a Lifetime movie at, like, 9 o'clock, you know, just zoning out with the family. I mean, my life is so, you would be surprised. Every night, I can't remember the last time I was at a bar. I don't even know, like, by myself, never, unless I'm on the road and I go down to the hotel bar to have a drink and then I go back to the room, you know. You got to understand the perils of what money can do for you, do to you. So the message kind of, this one plays off yesterday's message. Don't be an idiot. Don't worship money. It's nothing to be worshipped about. Don't worship. Think about what money can do, the movement, a hospital wing it can do, or money you can invest in your business or things like that that can ultimately bring back the good in the world that we need, man. You need to go get money because you're a good person and you need to get it. You know, if you're going to go get hookers and blow, maybe not so much. Every day is going to be Monday for you, like yesterday was Monday. Not a fun day in the world of Warren Sapp. Not a fun day for anybody who makes those bad decisions. And we're all one bad decision away. True? We're all one bad decision away from ruining everything that we've worked so hard for. Make great decisions, man. Go make money. Make a lot of money. And while you're at it, go make a difference. Man, that's a wild story, wasn't it? Golly. That was a wild time of my life, man. I should really focus on an entire week of West Palm Beach stories in the late 80s. I spent 2 years there. Lived in the mansion on South Ocean Boulevard in the Ambassador of Denmark's mansion because he was gone 10 months out of the year. My buddy was a cop and lived in the basement. And in return for living in the basement for free, he would park his cop car in the driveway to, you know, make sure nobody came. Wow, the parties we had in that mansion. I should really dedicate like a week of the Everyday Saturday podcast just for that. Good times, man. Good time. Hey, make sure you leave a 5-star rating for the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley, have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.